and Tom will be with us here. We're going to do a quick religious Trojan horse update with Tom Littleton of 30piecesofsilver.org. I think that's his website, if I remember correctly. Tom, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us. Tom, you need to unmute your mic. At the bottom of your screen, unmute your mic. Or the top or the bottom? No. Nope. All right. Tell you what, let me just plug real quick while we're
here.
Oh, hey, Tom, you got it?
Yeah. Hey, I'm liking that mic you got there.
Oh, this one we've had a long time. Logan, okay. It was Logan's idea. We've had it for years. So yeah. I prefer the lapel mic, but we had some buzzing in the system somewhere, so he flipped over to this one. But I prefer
it. You drug it out of mothballs and put it back in the service.
Actually, it's a very, very expensive mic. I used it to record all my albums.
Oh, nice.
If any folks listened to my last several albums, it was all recorded. This is really for that kind of purpose. So, you know, it gets used. I don't like it. I prefer a lapel mic. But thank you for noticing. Anyway, I feel like Johnny Carson. I feel like I should have someone over here on the news desk next to me, you know, with a big microphone in my face. Anyway, a lot of young people like Johnny Carson. Who's that? Woo! I was watching an old Johnny Carson episode the other night. I thought that it was. I was enjoying it. It takes you down, you know, memory lane. But many of the young people could not imagine a show as slow as the Johnny Carson show was. It was really slow TV by today's comparisons.
And the stuff, the humor either.
No, they didn't get it. And a lot of the stuff was related to what was going on in the news at the time. So I was watching an episode the other night from the 70s and one from the 80s. And I knew exactly what was going on because even in the early 80s, late 70s, I was a news junkie. So it was just funny listening to his monologue and what he was joking about in the news. And I knew exactly what his topics were. But any young person today would have no idea who these people are he's talking about. But maybe that just shows what a nerd I am. But anyway, I digress. We got to hurry on so we can get to Roger Stone. We're doing our news update with you, our religious Trojan horse update, a new series we're adding here to show how the progressives and the communists are penetrating mainstream evangelicalism. Let's show this screenshot. Tom Littleton has uncovered another story tonight, religious communities' role in managing COVID-19, Wednesday, May 19th, 2021. He just uncovered it. Tell me why this is important. I see something here that I think gives us red flags. Oh, look at that. Walter Kim, President, National Association of Evangelicals. That's a red flag because the National Association of Evangelicals was originally started, folks, to counter the liberal mainline churches of the 1950s and 60s that were denying the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the gospel. They've gone so social justice liberal, and along comes the National Association of Evangelicals to counter that. And holy cow, last several years, we've seen the National Association of Evangelicals embrace what I call in my book, Marxianity. So here they are working what is supposed to be one of the biggest so-called evangelical organizations, working with the Council on Foreign Relations, a group backed by the globalists and the Rockefellers for the United Nations and world government and everything else. And there they are right in the heart of evangelicalism, correct?
Right. And actually, Kim is the one who's moderating this event the Council on Foreign Relations. So he's the main guy who's pulling this meeting together and moderating these other two speakers. Two ladies, one of which is a New York pastor, Miss Lewis. She has an inclusive congregation in East Village. I used to live there, a very liberal area, and they're working for justice for race, LGBTQ, immigrants, and so forth, and inclusion. And then, of course, Melissa Rogers, who is both the Obama and now Biden executive director of the White House faith-based neighborhood partnerships organization. So this is a really key planning meeting and strategy celebrating how they're going to pull the religious community in particular these two supposedly evangelical leaders in with the Council on Foreign Relations and the faith-based neighborhood partnerships out of the White House. And we see in these discussions that they are showing the faith leaders' key role in leading out and getting the vaccinations themselves and providing the leadership for the COVID response.
So again, we saw that Ed Stetzer, also big wig in the Southern Baptist Convention, largest Protestant denomination in America, has gone to them, doing a session with them and chastising Trump supporters and those interested in borders and those opposed to the flood of immigrants in our nation, unvetted, et cetera, painting them in a horrible way. And now we see them working with the National Association of Evangelicals. So they're apparently going down their checklist, Southern Baptist Convention, largest Protestant denomination in America or association, now the National Association of Evangelicals. So clearly the globalists are calling in the power brokers of the so-called evangelical world and getting them on board to be their useful idiots and bring the poison back to the sheep.
Absolutely. And what they're up to here is to show that they know how to use these faith leaders and to recruit the faith community to be basically their army of volunteers, as you often refer to them as useful idiots, to implement this stuff as it rolls out. And of course, this thing had 8 years already to be in play during the Obama administration. And now Biden has just picked up the faith-based partnerships program. He announced that on Valentine's Day of this year. And he fully, implemented it as it had been, took up basically where they left off. And then, of course, they had the racial narrative. They had the COVID thing going. And all this is justice-driven. It's all about redistribution of wealth, and also about redistribution of the focus and the vision of the church off of the gospel and onto these what proved to be some pretty nefarious globalist ideologies. I mean, the big indicator of that would be the Council on Foreign Relations itself is hosting this thing. So what interest would the nation's oldest globalist think tank from 1921 have in evangelical leaders, except to co-opt them exactly as you have been warning would take place? So this stuff isn't going to be rolled out. It's happening right now.
Absolutely. You know, in one of my documentaries, I think it's Siege or Sabotage, I have some lady with this liberal organization with ties back to George Soros saying, she talks about how they used to have political world, rent a general. You know, you take a general and after he'd gotten out of the military, and you'd rent a general and you use him to push your cause. And then she started openly talking in this little clip about rent an evangelical for their globalist goal, their progressive goals. Remember that?
Yeah, and that was when Soros was first found to be renting, paying a lot of the rent and the leases for these guys. And that was through Sojourners and through Jim Wallis, some of the usual suspects on the Christian left. But this is different because it's cutting deep into the Southern Baptists and other more what we would think of as more conservative and biblically faithful in the past evangelicals. So we're seeing this vision spread, and there's virtually nothing to stop it. So we look at our vision of the gospel and how we understand we should be engaging the culture. And what these guys are telling us is that we need to be joining the narrative. We need to be joining with the COVID response and basically be teammates with the Biden administration.
All right,
You have to ask if that's where the gospel really lies. I don't think so.
Absolutely. Logan, let me know, clear as a bell in my ear, as soon as we have Roger Stone, will you? All right, and I just sent you his number, by the way, if you want to know how to connect with him if versus another technology. We have multiple technologies here, Tom, that we sometimes have to go to as backups. But look at this screenshot. If Logan needs three arms in there. Logan, if you have an extra arm to hit a button in there and show this screenshot, show this one here. Here's the Baptist Press, Ethics Religious Liberty Council. That's what that stands for, ERLC, Ethics Religious Liberty Council. Again, a division of the Southern Baptist, the largest Protestant denomination in America. Or association, they're unveiling new technology, pro-life initiatives. Now, what is wrong with this? Isn't this a good thing, Tom?
Well, the problem is that not only is the Baptist, Southern Baptist Missions Organization, the cooperative program, paying for this, but also they got a grant from Facebook. So funding comes in part, they claim that Facebook approached them to do this research on ethics in technology.
Wait, let me go back to the screenshot, because I just did the old famous Control F. If any of you out there know for research, use Control F, and I just typed in Facebook, and look what happened. The project is funded by the cooperative program, the Southern Baptist Unified Giving Plan, but Facebook Technologies LLC also provided a research grant after the effort was underway. Oversight by Facebook and research efforts, Facebook and other technology companies have approached the ERLC for resources because there's a dearth of literature in this area. So while so wait a minute, are you trying to tell me that all of a sudden Facebook has gone pro-life on me? What's the deal here?
Well, the irony is that there's no bigger offender on religious liberty and freedom of speech on the internet than Facebook. I mean, we're all being censored every day by these guys. And our own Baptist ethics department has a lobby group, basically. They have taken on the issue to address ethics in technology and are doing it with Facebook money. Well, what do you expect the outcome is going to be on an effort like this? It's really pretty sad. Okay. So we're standing here looking at this thing and wondering how far it's going to go before people realize that we're being sold down the river.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 30piecesofsilver.org, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Brandon. Good to be with you.
You too.